Good morning, girls and boys. Let's turn to the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're coming to what will be, I believe, the final study of this chapter. We're looking at the verses 15 down to the end of the chapter. Well, we'll read. I'll have to be very quick, for I need to just read these with you so that you understand the situation that developed in the prayer meeting. You remember they were all there to pray, and at some stage in the 8 days of continuing prayer, this is what happened. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That was the end of Judas. It was rather a horrible end, wasn't it? But then he had done a horrible thing, betrayed the Lord Jesus. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, or his eldership, his calling, let another take. Wherefore these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection? Peter is here proposing that they pick someone out of the prayer meeting to take the place of Judas. Verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. Each person would have had some little token, and they would have indicated by this token whether they were picking the man Matthias or the man Barsabbas. And when they looked at the various tokens that had been submitted, it was seen that they had chosen Matthias to take the place of Judas. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias was chosen by the people to replace Judas. So, let's consider what this passage tells us. The people had been commanded by the Lord Jesus to gather in prayer and to wait for the promise of the Father, the full power of the Holy Ghost to descend upon them. But somewhere in the midst of this waiting, Peter took upon himself to say, we're going to have a meeting here and choose someone to take the place of Judas. And that's what's recorded in the verses we have read together. And I want you first of all to notice that there was a complete break, departure from the business of praying. The Lord had commanded them to pray, but they stopped praying in the middle of the 8 days, and they held this gathering. I needn't rehearse to you the verses 8 and 9 where you have the Lord telling them to wait and pray. And again also in Luke chapter 24 and the verses 49 to 51, you have the Lord commanding them to pray. But for some reason, in the middle of the time of waiting, they set aside the Lord's commandment and they turned their attention to this business of finding a replacement for Judas Iscariot. Now, it's obvious from the opening words of verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up. Peter took it on himself to change the purpose of the gathering from that appointed by the Lord, even a prayer meeting, to this gathering to choose an alternative, a replacement for Judas. But Peter was wrong. Peter had no right to do that. And it's something Christians have to learn. We cannot set aside the commandments of God and do our own thing. It will not result in good. Any decisions made in defiance of God's command will be wrong decisions. Now, Peter quoted scripture. You read in verse 16, "Men and brethren, this scripture," and he quotes scripture. And the scripture he quotes do indeed refer to Judas, so that he didn't do wrong in applying these prophetic words which depicted what Judas would do. He was right in that, but he misapplied them. He took out of them that which was wrong. Because if you go on in the verse 21, here's his conclusion. Having read these scriptures about Judas and how he would end and the awful fate he would suffer, Peter says, "Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection." The scriptures he read do not say that. The scriptures he read do not tell Peter, "Oh, you have to choose a replacement for Judas." So that the scripture in itself was correct, but Peter put a false meaning on it, falsely applied it. Now that can be done many times. In my life, I have met many Christians who come with a verse and they say, "Look at this verse. It's telling me to do this, that, or the other thing." And I have to say, "No, that verse doesn't tell you to do that at all. You're misreading it. You're misapplying it." And God's people are forever doing that. And as a result, doing wrong things. Thinking they're doing right things. Here's Peter, and he's leading the people in a wrong direction. He assumed, took upon himself to think that he and the people had to choose someone to replace Judas. Now I want you to notice that since the other apostles were there as well, John, James, Andrew, all the others, Matthew, every one of them, they're all there, but none of them challenged Peter. Peter was a man who oftentimes jumped in when he shouldn't have, made decisions that were made in haste without proper thought. Poor old Peter was a bit like that. There's no doubt about it. There comes to mind a couple of things. When the Lord said to the apostles just before he was crucified, "One of you will betray me and all of you will forsake me." "Oh," Peter says, "I'll never do that. No, they can kill me, but I'll never deny you." He was wrong. He did deny him. And then when the Saviour was approached by those who had come to arrest him, remember Peter grabbed a sword and whacked at a man and cut off his ear. And the Saviour had to rebuke him and say, "Put up your sword," and he healed the man. He was doing what he thought at that moment was right, but he was wrong. He was impetuous. That's a big word. It means doing that which you think is right at the moment, but without really thinking about it. Because if you did think about it, you'd know, "No, this is not the right thing for me to do." He was impetuous. And he's being impetuous here, taking upon himself authority that he didn't have. He wasn't told by the Lord to convene this gathering and choose a replacement. But sadly, nobody spoke up and said, "Peter, as a matter of interest, where is your authority for doing this? Where is the command the Lord Jesus gave us to appoint a successor?" Nobody did. And I want to tell you this. God's work has gone astray many, many times. Not just because people like Peter were impetuous, but because people like Matthew, James, Andrew, John, and the other apostles said nothing. Let it happen. I have no doubts that among those apostles, there were those who were saying, Where did Peter get this idea from? You think he's raging what he's doing? But they said nothing. Let me tell you, boys and girls, God expects you to stand up and say something when you see wrong being done. We have a Christian lady who sets us an example of what it is we should do. And you older ones, if you turn to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll be given her name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Well, let me read a little before that. Go back to verse 10. Paul's writing here to this church, and he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You see, in Corinth there were rumpuses and rows and arguments going on. And Paul says, this is not right. And then he says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions, arguments among you." Good for Chloe and her house. They had let Paul know that this was going on in Corinth. And as a result, Paul acted and saved the church from ruin brought about by these divisions and other sins. And I tell you, boys and girls, we are to be like Chloe. We are to speak up when things that are wrong are being done among God's people. We're not to be like the other apostles and just go along with what Peter was proposing, because it's wrong to silently watch wrong being done and being part of it, because they not only said nothing, they went along with it. They became part of it. They joined in the wrongdoing of Peter. And that's what happens when you don't say something, when you don't stand up and speak for the Saviour. And I want to then point out to you that even good men are prone to act foolishly. Peter was a good man. So was Andrew, James, John, Matthew, and all the other apostles. And indeed all of the people who were in the upper room praying. They were all good people, faithful to the Lord and who loved the Lord. But even good people can do wrong. Even good people can do wrong. Peter was urging upon them to act without authority from the Lord. I read to you that verse 21. He says, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, where did Peter get that authority? He says, we must appoint someone from amongst those who have been with the Lord all his 3 years of ministry. Where did he get that? He didn't get it from the Lord. He got it from his own thinking. And I have to say this in defense of Peter. It seemed very reasonable. Who else? Who else, surely, would be appointed an apostle other than someone who has been with the Lord, like the other apostles, during his 3 years of ministry? But as reasonable as this appeared to be, wasn't right. Poor old Peter felt he had the right, he had authority. He was acting very wisely in leading the people to find a replacement for Judas. But what Peter should have remembered was how he was appointed. What happened when Peter was appointed an apostle? Well, you can read that in Matthew chapter 4 in the verses 18 to 20. The Lord said, "Follow me. Peter, follow me." Peter was appointed an apostle directly by the Lord. But here is Peter thinking, he and the people with him, they can appoint an apostle. No. If he had only thought about his own appointment, he would have recognized, well, the Lord appointed the rest of us, and it'll be the Lord who appoints the replacement for Judas. We have no part in this business, and we better just step back. But sadly, he didn't think that. He didn't think that. It says in verse 25 that they chose Matthias. Verse 25, 26. He was then counted by the people as an apostle. And he would have been considered an apostle for quite a time. The people would have gone out of that time of prayer having appointed Matthias, thinking that this has been a good decision by us and Matthias is a good man, and he will make a good apostle. You know something, boys and girls? He was not God's man. And you see there in the verse 26, the lot fell upon Matthias. That's the last time you will ever read about Matthias. His name never appears again because he wasn't God's man. He wasn't God's man. The people thought he was, foolishly, took it on themselves to appoint him as one to replace Judas, but he wasn't God's choice. Now, let me say this, Matthias was a good man. He was among the folk there that gathered to pray. He had followed the Lord right through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and now here he was in the prayer meeting. No doubt about it, he was a good man. But he wasn't God's man to be an apostle. And Peter did wrong in leading the gathering to choose him. Who was it replaced Judas as an apostle? Of course it was Saul of Tarsus, who at that time, when this meeting took place, was an unsaved, ungodly man who hated the gospel. And it wasn't until approximately 8 years after this prayer meeting that God saved Saul of Tarsus, and he became Paul the Apostle. Paul said of himself on a number of occasions, for instance, you have it at the opening verses of 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I am an apostle. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul knew himself to be an apostle. And the day Paul got saved, the Lord appeared to a godly man in Damascus called Ananias. And he said, Ananias, I want you to go to Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to say something to him and pray for him. And Ananias said, what? You not know who this man is? He's come to Damascus to arrest Christians and persecute them. And you want me to go? Yes, says the Lord. And then the Lord says this, Acts 9 verse 15, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He was God's choice, not Matthias. He was the people's choice. Good man, but he and the people were wrong. Here was God's choice, Paul the Apostle. Now, it's clear from the history of the early church that Paul was not accepted as an apostle for a good while, generally speaking. The choice of the people in the upper room, Matthias, was considered by the people of the new apostle. And that went on for a good while. And when Saul of Tarsus got saved and became Paul, there was a slowness to accept him because of what he had been, a persecutor. You will find in Acts chapter 9, the verses 20 to 21, 26 and 27, evidence of the slowness of the people. When he came to Jerusalem, some time after his conversion, the people said, oh, look who's arrived! It had nothing to do with him. It was Barnabas, who had formed a friendship with Paul and knew him to be a real Christian and really converted, who said, no, God has saved this man. And he has been a chief instrument of God in winning souls to Christ. He's no longer what he was. So gradually there was an accepting that Paul was God's choice to replace Judas. And I have to say that all his life, Paul was fighting this spirit of resistance that could be found among a number of believers. And you find himself often in his epistles defending himself. He says in one place, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, I suppose I was not a wee bit behind the very chiefest apostle. He was forced to say that about himself because it was constantly being questioned. He's not really an apostle. He took this on himself. But that wasn't true. He was God's choice. So here, in the midst of this great gathering to pray, was a people led astray to consider what they had no business considering by one of the chief apostles who acted without the authority of God. Oh, boys and girls, let me tell you, good men can act foolishly and lead astray the people of God. And we must ever, ever be guided by the Bible. What saith the Scriptures? That decides matters. Not what a Peter says, or what a good man may feel is the right thing to do. What the Bible says. Boys and girls, if you're saved today, you're growing up in the midst of a Christianity in which there are many voices raised saying this is the way or that's the way without any reference to the Bible. And you've got to watch out for them. And you've got to reject their ideas. If they don't speak according to the Word of God, it is because there is no light within them. May we learn from this morning, and may it live on in your memory throughout your life. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word, for the wonders of its instruction, its wisdom, its guidance. And I pray today that it may please you to write thy word upon the hearts of the boys and girls here who are saved, and may they never forget that the sole rule, the only rule of faith and practice is the Word of God. Bless our school, undertake for it. And you know the needs there are, Lord, in many lives. Answer prayer to the glory of thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.